Our Old Testament reading this evening is from Ezekiel, Book of Ezekiel, and chapter 9. We're going to read both chapters 9 and 10. Please give your attention to God's Word. Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand." Behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man, clothed in linen, with a writing case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the Lord of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case. The Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst." But to the others he said in my hearing, "Go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary." So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, "Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out." Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. As they were striking the people, and I alone was left, I fell on my face and cried out, saying, "Alas, Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem?" Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, 'The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see.' But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, but I will bring their conduct upon their heads." Then behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case, reported, saying, "I have done just as you have commanded me." Then I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone, in appearance resembling a throne, appeared above them. And he spoke to the man, clothed in linen, and said, "Enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim, and fill your hands with the coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city." And he entered in my sight. Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord. Moreover, the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. It came about when he commanded the man, clothed in linen, saying, "Take fire from between the whirling wheels and from between the cherubim." He entered and stood beside a wheel. Then the cherub stretched out his hand from between the cherubim to the fire, which was between the cherubim, took some, and put it into the hands of the one clothed in linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Then I looked, and behold, four wheels beside the cherubim, one wheel beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like the gleam of a Tarshish stone. As for their appearance, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel were within another wheel. When they moved, they went in any of their four directions, without turning, as they went, but they followed in the direction which they faced, without turning as they went. Their whole body, their backs, their hands, their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes all around, the wheels belonging to all four of them. The wheels were called, in my hearing, the whirling wheels. And each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, the second face was the face of a man, the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. Then the cherubim rose up. They are the living things that I saw by the river Chebar. Now when the cherubim moved, the wheels would go beside them. Also, when the cherubim lifted up their wings to rise from the ground, the wheels would not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels would stand still, and when they rose up, the wheels would rise with them, for the spirit of the living beings was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. When the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and rose up from the earth in my sight, with the wheels beside them. And they stood still at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel hovered above them. These are the living things that I saw beneath the God of Israel by the river Chebar. So I knew that they were cherubim. Each one had four faces and each one four wings. And beneath their wings was the form of human hands. As for the likeness of their faces, they were the same faces whose appearance I had seen by the river Chebar. Each one went straight ahead. So in our reading through and going through Ezekiel, we come here to a picture, a vision of judgment. And so here we are shown a picture of God's judgment for sin of a people that is said to be very, very great, where the land is filled with blood, and the city was full of perversion, and the people have disbelieved that the life, that they live life before the face of God who sees. And there are two aspects to this judgment. One is obvious and easy to see in this passage. The other one may be easier to miss. The easy one is that judgment we see of the executioners going throughout the city. But the second, and even more significant, that we see is God's presence departing from the temple and from the cherubim on the ark in the Holy of Holies. Also, that place is known as the mercy seat, so we see the Lord departing from there. And we remember also the cry of our Lord Jesus Christ in the height of his sufferings, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's also challenging in this passage for our time to consider that what God recognized here as the mark of the upright, that they sigh and groan over the abominations which are being committed around them. And he spares them. And we can think, are we sighing and groaning over what we see around us? And although it is not absolute about how God always works, what we see here is that God does spare those that are upright. And God is often pleased to work and in that way, and that's described by Matthew Henry, I think, very well. Those who keep pure in times of general wickedness, God will keep safe in times of general trouble and distress. So that is an encouragement to us and reminder. And it's also striking that in this picture of judgment, it starts from the sanctuary and the place and with those where there should be the most knowledge and where there is the most responsibility. It's also striking how God shows in this vision that there will be a remnant of his people that he does spare. And that's encouraging to us. But in this case, we see how alarmingly small that remnant may be. It appears that Ezekiel was the only one. So may it be that we are found faithful, that we're found faithful and distressed over the iniquities we see around us, even if we are the only one. And then finally, seeing this picture of judgment, let us consider again what something that Matthew Henry observed. God, he says, removes by degrees from a provoking people, and when ready to depart, would return to them if they were a repenting and praying people. So let this warn sinners to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near, and cause all of us to walk humbly and watchfully with our God. Let's turn to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we see so much around us, so much turning away, and sometimes even what we see in the church, what is seen as the church, that distresses us. We ask that you would encourage us, that we would not lose heart, that we would have a confidence in you, that you are always working out your holy will. And we ask that you would keep us faithful, even in the face of difficulty, of opposition. And we thank you that you give us that encouragement, that you ultimately will spare those who turn to you in faith. We ask that you would spare this land and turn the hearts of the people and of the leaders toward you. We ask this because we know that as difficult and as impossible as that may seem, that you can do it. We pray again that you be with our pastor, Pastor Barnes, in his travels and his work at General Assembly, that you would give him strength, safe travels, and wisdom in his responsibilities, the ability to speak the truth in love and to stand by your word, according to your word. And we also pray that you be with Dina and the children while he is away. You would care for and strengthen them. We pray for those that struggle with health in our congregation and our families. We think of so many difficulties that come along with illness, and we ask that you would strengthen those who are bearing up under that, that if it would be your will, that you would heal and restore, but if not, that you would give patience and strength, and ultimately that you would keep them focused on you. So often when we are sick, it is easy to focus only on those things, but help us to focus on you and depend upon you. We ask that you would be with us as we consider location to worship. We thank you for providing this place for so long, but if you would have us another place for us, we ask that you would guide and direct toward that quickly, if it be your will. We ask now that you would be with us in the preaching and hearing of the word, that you'd be with Jeremy as he brings forth your word and applies it. And we ask that you would be with us who hear, that we would have a teachable spirit and a diligent listening, that we would listen with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.